We have been in this series about financial freedom and how to gain freedom in the area of financials. And Charles Rozelle has helped me to develop this material. And we've been talking about different things. And this week we're talking about how to earn like a Christian. How to earn like a Christian, or how to work like a Christian. And we work like a Christian by being diligent in our workplace. And so we're going to take a look at that. A couple things that I want to just share with you. First of all, that God wants to have absolute victory in every area of our lives. This includes the area of finances. And yet, a lot of Christians live in defeat in this area. And we can't have true freedom in God or in Christ without this area of finances being under His control. We've already looked at some things. The problems in the past, in the last couple weeks. We looked at the miser mentality. We looked at the plastic problem. We looked at the buying binge. And we looked at the foolish financials. So remember, the key to victory in this area of finances, the key is lordship and putting God in control of our money. And there can be no victory in Christ unless we are under the complete lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of our life. He wants to be the Lord of the way that I earn my money, of the way that I spend my money, the way that I give my money, the way that I save my money, and the way that I leave my money. And the Bible has a lot of things to say about work. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23 says this: "All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 says, "Lazy hand makes a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth." 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, we talked about this. We finished up our Timothy series a few weeks ago, but it's one of the favorite of my texts that I've ever had, and I think it's really misunderstood in a lot of ways. It says this, it says, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." I want you to see a couple of things. First of all, it doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. Sometimes it's interpreted that way, that money is the root of all evil. Here's the reality: is money isn't a positive or a negative. It's not a good or it's not an evil. It's a neutral. It's how what we do with money that that distinguishes whether it becomes evil. It also doesn't say that money is the cause of all evil. There's many things that happen in our world today and many things that we come across as believers that cause evil that have nothing to do with money. Okay? The verse literally says here that money is a root of all kinds of evil. It can be a problem that you and I have in our lives. Okay? Let me say this, that sometimes laziness is the root of all kinds of evil. Laziness is the root of all kinds of evil. I'm convinced that one of the primary sins in America is the sin of laziness. People are not willing to put their best effort forth in their workplace and give glory to the Lord Jesus through their effort and through their work. You know, in fact, in our society, a lot of people brag about their laziness. They brag about how lazy they are. They brag about how they get all these things without doing any work for it. I want to remind you that in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 19, Solomon, the author of Proverbs, gave us the seven deadly sins. And one of those deadly sins was this area of sloth or laziness. Okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 was a verse that I learned and memorized as a boy. And it says this, it says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who live by it." Okay? Now, it's interesting that the idea of this verse is discipline and being a hard worker. And once we work hard, we have this harvest of righteousness and peace that we get from our hard work. Okay? Now, that is certainly true in the area of all different types of areas, but also in the area of finances. That when we're lazy at our workplace, that we don't gain, but when we work hard, we gain peace, financial peace. Okay? We need to get rid of laziness in all these different areas of our life. We are lazy in the area of our home life, where we don't put a lot of time or effort into our marriage or our parenting or the people that we care about. We neglect those that are closest to us. We need to get rid of the laziness in our spiritual life. We need to engage God on a daily basis through Bible study and prayer. We need to be the hardest workers on the job, in the area of witnessing, in the area of Bible study, in the area of prayer. You know, the most difficult work there is this area of prayer. And it's amazing how many Christians struggle in that area. Where you ask them, when was the last time you spent time with God in prayer? And it can be, you know, a quick sentence here or there. But concentrated prayer doesn't come easy to most believers. And we need to not be lazy in that area. Also, in our vocational life, we need to be the hardest worker in our workplace so that we can represent Christ well, so that we can also be the best witness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 talks about this, about working hard and being diligent for the Lord and doing what He has called us to do. The first thing that we need to talk about when we talk about working and this area of diligence within work is that we need to have the right attitude. For some, work is a curse. For some, it's to be served, a penalty to be paid, a misery to be endured. For them, work is evil. They toil 5 days a week to support the worthless activities of their weekend. You know, they lie awake at night dreaming of ways that they can arrange an early retirement. Meanwhile, they're bitter. They feel that the best years of their life have been wasted just working. But I want to tell you this, folks, that service to the Lord is not a get or got to. It is a get to. And we need to start looking at work as our place of ministry. Where we go to work and where we put our effort and our energy is a ministry unto the Lord. There is this old song back in the late 40s. By the way, before I get to that, there's a poll that indicates that 65% of Americans are disenchanted and dissatisfied with their jobs. Only 35% of the people that go to work actually like being there. Okay? There's an old song from the 40s that says this. Up in the morning, out on the job, fuss with my woman, toil for my kids, work till I'm wrinkled and gray. It goes on to say, but that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around in the heavens all day. But for other people, work is a joy. It's a privilege. What makes the difference? The difference is attitude. Work is service to the Lord. It ought to be joyful. When we do something for the Lord, it's a joyful thing in our life. It's not a got to, it's a get to. We get to serve the Lord. We ought to thank God for the privilege and opportunity of work and the privilege of being His witness on the workplace. If we're a brick mason, we're not just laying bricks. We're building a wall for the glory of God. If we're a teacher, we're not just marking time. We're shaping the Christian leaders of tomorrow. If we're an accountant, we're not just keeping the ledgers, but we're keeping ledgers in excellent order for the glory of God. If we're driving a tractor, we're plowing straight furrows for God's glory. We do the work. When we do work, we should do it with all of our hearts. Adrian Rogers wrote a book. That book was called God's Way to Health, Wealth, and Wisdom. And he gives us four suggestions about work. First one is this. He says, don't brag. He says, the Bible says, let your light shine. It is a glow, not a glare. We shouldn't brag about the work that we do. The second one is this. We don't nag. Don't be a constant complainer about your job. Don't be a constant complainer about your job. There's many people that go to their job, they complain about the pay. They complain about their boss. They complain that they're not getting more perks. They complain that there's not enough production. They don't expect, if you do that, don't expect to have any impact for the Lord. We shouldn't brag. We shouldn't nag. Number three is don't lag. Do your part on the job. Don't just go and go through the motions. Work as if you're working unto the Lord. Work as if your boss is looking over your shoulder at every second, even when you know he's not. The fourth one, and again, when we lag, it's when we're being lazy. We're being lazy. We're not getting there on time. We're leaving early. We're doing whatever we can to get out of that workplace. You know, the last one is it's don't sag, or in other words, finish strong, that we need to keep going in our work until God moves us to the next place. Let me show you a little video that maybe illustrates this.
Just like I designed the plan for this parking garage, God has a plan for each one of us. And it's a good plan. You could have a firm foundation just like that building. Okay, maybe not just like that building. We're all going to fire on it.
Spiritually, we're all lost.
We've been by that tree like 5 times already.
We're in big trouble.
We're fine. Hey guys, I'm totally unrelated note. If you were to die today, do you know where you would end up? Eternal?
We don't want to die before we hired you.
Can you hold this? Hold this.
Well, welcome to town, man. Sure they're gonna love you here. Oh, hey, I know it's not really a thing, but I thought maybe you might go to church.
What? You just lost me $5 million because you didn't file some document.
A document? Like what kind of document?
You tell me. You're the agent.
Oh shoot. Is it the
is the 10th.
That's what this is for. So, I don't suppose you'd still like to go to church? No? That's what are you?
Yes, sir, to bring your butt around. So, how do you like the bodyguard gig?
I like it, sir.
I'm a Christian, so, you know, that's what we're all about. Sacrifice, selflessness, putting other people first.
It's okay! Just leave him! I'm not gonna leave him! Take him! He was gonna take him! I didn't even go for it! I didn't go for it!
That's just a little example, I guess, of how when we don't put our best effort on the job, it hinders our witness. It hinders people's picture of who Jesus is. I had a pastor that one time said that you may be the only Bible that a person ever reads. Second thing is we need to have the right aptitude. Aptitude is idea of you'll be happy if you're doing what God wants you to do. You'll be happy if you're doing what God wants to do. Almost all satisfied Christian workers share one thing in common. They understand and they recognize God's call on their lives. So here's the question, right? How do you know God's will concerning your vocation? How do you know God's will concerning your vocation? There's five questions I want to give you. These are things you might want to write down. These five questions will help you to know whether or not God wants you to do something. This instant is talking about the job, but there's other areas of our life that this works for too. Here's the first one. Question number one. Have I studied it scripturally? Have I studied it scripturally? Taking a job in an abortion clinic is probably not something God wants us to do. Okay? God cares for infant life. He doesn't want us to murder. And so taking a job in a location that would promote that would not be a good thing. Okay, so scripturally, that job wouldn't line up with what God wants for our lives. Okay, second one is, have I prayed it through? James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God. You should ask God. And the Bible goes on to say that He gives to all who ask of Him. So if you don't know whether or not you're at the right job, start praying about it and ask God. Ask God for wisdom to know whether or not you should be there. Okay, the third one is this. Have you observed the doors opening naturally? If the Lord is in it, it flows. Okay? Sometimes God guides us just by one step at a time. My dad always used to say that. He said, I'd ask him, what should I do? What should I do? Or should I go here? Should I go there? Where should I go to college? Where should I get a job? All those different types of things. And he said, Tim, you don't have to plan your whole life out. You just take the next step. Just take the next step. And God just opens doors for us. Okay? Number four is this. Have I asked for counsel? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says, plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Okay? This is the idea of finding somebody else who is a believer and sit and someone who knows you, having an accountability partner maybe, and sitting down with them and saying, what do you think about this? And let them give them the permission to say whatever they need to say to you, to bounce your ideas off them, and to help you help them in their walk with the Lord, and they help you in their walk with the Lord. Okay? Number five, have I waited on the Lord? Psalms chapter 37, verse 7 says this, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when man succeed in their ways, but when they carry out their wicked schemes. It's this idea of waiting on God. Have I waited for Him? I was in youth ministry for 15 years. And I knew I was going to be a pastor 7 years ago. And I had to wait for Him to bring me to this point. I tried many times to get into the pastorate, but it wasn't until maybe there were some lessons that I needed to learn. Maybe I wasn't ready for it. I don't know all the reasons that I had to wait to get into this position, but it was God who brought me to this position. Remember a story of a man named Moses. He wanted to lead the children into the promised land, and yet they waited for 40 years in the desert before they got there, didn't they? Did you ever feel like that? I know that in my life I felt like that. Like I'm stuck in the desert waiting to get to where God wants me to go. I already know where God wants to bring me, but I need to wait on His timing as well. Okay, number six, have I received peace? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. Until we have peace in our life on a decision that we need to make, we shouldn't move. We should have peace. It's this peace that passes all understanding. It's when God's Spirit speaks to our spirit and He helps us to know whether or not this next step in our lives is what God wants us to do. Okay? Number seven. Does it glorify God? Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. Okay? Our worth and what we have and who we are needs to be measured by our obedience to Him. We measure our worth by how many friends we have on Facebook, how much money we have in the bank account, how many people we influence, what kind of job we have. But we need to get rid of those measuring sticks and get the measuring stick that matters to the Lord Jesus. And His measuring stick is obedience to Him. Does your life conform to obeying Him? And the last one is your gifts and talents. Your gifts and talents. If you've been around for any amount of time, you probably have realized that you have some things that you like to do and some things that you're good at and some things that you're not very good at. Okay? And God gives us all a spiritual gift. And we can use that in our vocation, in our workplace. And if we're not using it in our vocation, our workplace, we need to reconsider what we're doing. Okay? The next one here is gratitude. Gratitude. We need to have the right attitude, the right aptitude, and the right gratitude. We need to have gratitude for the blessing that work brings. I don't know if you've noticed this, but when you love what you're doing, you love it because you're good at it. And there are some major benefits to work. By the way, when we look at the Bible, when we look at the first man and woman in the Garden of Eden that were there, they were, before the fall, they were given a job to do. They were given, Adam was given work to do before sin entered into the world. So work isn't a sin. Work is something that God gave us before sin entered the world. The Bible also says that someday in heaven or on the new earth, you and I will have work as well. We have a job there. God designed us to work. Okay? But there are some things that come with work. Number one is confidence. Number one is confidence. We grow a lot of confidence when we're on the job. When we begin a job, we often start with fear and trembling. But as we begin to grow, God tells us some things. And some of those things is, I have abilities. I have skills. I'm competent. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's one of the things that a job teaches us. Not only does it teach us confidence, but it also helps us to build character. You know, there's times when the job can be tough. It can be a real trial. And then we need to remember the words of James in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Do you get bogged down during a difficult assignment? Do you give up at the first chance to give up? Or do you grow in perseverance? Those lessons learned on the job help us in our Christian walk as well. In fact, it goes both ways, doesn't it? When we persevere in our Christian faith, it helps us in the workplace. And when we persevere in the workplace, it helps us in our Christian faith. When you're tempted by an unethical practice, do you yield to it? Or do you grow? You see it as a chance to grow in your honesty, in your truthfulness. When you hear a friend being slandered, do you sit silently and give silent assent? Or do you stand up for your friend and practice loyalty? When you become irritated at a co-worker's idiosyncrasies, do you criticize and belittle? Or do you commit yourself to greater tolerance? When you're asked to stretch in an area of weakness, do you let fear stop you, or do you decide to muster courage and proceed? So jobs help us to grow in our confidence. They help us to grow in our character, and they help us to grow in our contentment. A job well done brings satisfaction. Okay? Remember, God, when He created the world, He sat down on the seventh day, and He saw all that He had made. And He said, it's very good. There was a contentment, even in the life of God, when He did an excellent job. Okay? I want to talk about the three most important decisions in life. Three M's. Number one is your master. Who is your master? Is your master the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is your master Satan? you have one of two choices. You'll either yield and make Jesus the Lord of your life, a God who loves you, a God who cares for you, a God who created you, a God who wants to redeem you, or will you yield to the master of the devil, the one who hates, the one whose goal is to kill, steal, and destroy? We wonder why our lives become so ruined sometimes. Because there's one out there whose goal is to kill, steal, and destroy. And until we give our allegiance and our lordship to the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not live under the umbrella of protection that he gives. We're out in the wilderness, and our master is Satan. Decision, first most important decision is who will be your master. The second most important decision you will ever make in your life is who will be your mate. Who will you marry? Because that will determine a lot of things in your life, won't it? In a lot of ways, it will determine whether you're happy or whether you're sad. What do we look for in a mate? The first thing we look for is who is their master. Goes back to master, doesn't it? And when they've submitted their lives to a good master, then they'll be a good mate. Not perfect. Never perfect, right? The third most important decision that you will make is your mission. It's your vocation. You know, they used to talk in words. Now they say things like, I have a job. Back in the old days, they used to talk in terms of vocation. Your vocation is your calling. It's your calling. What has God called you to do? If God has called you to do something, then as we do it as unto him, right? I have a lot of people ask me the question, when did God call you into the ministry? And I share that story with them. And then I ask them, when did God call you into what you do? He calls, doesn't he? He calls. It's our mission here on earth. We need to quit looking at it as something we have to endure to get a paycheck. It's the calling that he has called you to. When I'm where God wants me to be, I will be at peace. When I'm where God wants me to be, I will be at peace. And sometimes it's just this idea of getting on the right page with God, isn't it? There's a farmer, and he was hiring a hand, and this boy or this young man came to him, and the farmer says, well, give me your qualifications. Give me your qualifications to working on my farm. He was trying to be fancy like the city folks were, you know. And the boy said, well, I can sleep when the wind blows. And the farmer said, I don't know what that means, but okay, you're hired. And so he hired this guy. And one of the things was there was a bedroom in his house, and he let this guy stay there. And one night, the wind came through that area, and it was just blowing. And the farmer got up, and he ran down to the hired hand, and he said, we got to get up. The wind's blowing. We got to get the barn door closed. We got to do all these things. We got to secure all this stuff. And the hired hand just said, don't worry about it. It's already taken care of. And the farmer was a little bit angry that the hired hand didn't get up. But he left him sleep, and he went outside, and the barn door was shut, and all the hay was battened down, and all the things were taken care of that needed to be taken care of. And the farmer finally understood what he meant when he said, I can sleep when the wind blows. And that should be the measure of our life, shouldn't it? That when the storms of life come through our lives, at our workplace, in any area of our life, that we can sleep well because we've known we've done everything that we can do to secure that area of our life, and the rest is up to God. Right? Can you sleep when the wind blows? Can you cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you? You've worked like it all depends on you, and you have faith like it all depends upon him. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this area of work. Father, I pray for those who are here today that are struggling on the job. Father, I pray for those today that are having difficulty with a coworker or a boss or something like that. I pray that you will give them the strength. I pray that you will help us to be diligent in our workplace, whether we're a student, whether we are on a job that calls us away from here, or whether we work for ourselves. We pray that you will help us to do everything in such a way that it's like we're doing it just for you. Because, Lord, we know that we are doing it just for you. That our one of the ways that we worship you is to work for you. So help us to live our lives in that regard. Father, where we have failed, forgive us. Where we need strength, strengthen us. Where we're fearful, give us courage. Help us to be the men and women and the boys and girls that you've called us to be. We thank you for all that you're doing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.